Let us pray. We come to you in this moment, O God, seeking light in the darkness, seeking guidance on the way, seeking hope in despairing times. Enter into our lives. Help us to see the strength that we have in you and in one another. Give us the wisdom we need to see in your holy word our way to follow. This we ask in the strong name of our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do not be afraid. These are the words spoken by Elijah to a widow of Zarephath, but they are words that are stitched into the holy word found in both the Hebrew and Christian scriptures. Do not be afraid, God says, for I will be with you. Do not be afraid, the prophets say, for God will guide and provide. Do not be afraid, says the Christ, for I am with you. Indeed, for those who remember when we started this Downtown United this summer, I opened us up on Canada Day by preaching about Christ walking on waters and going out to the disciples. Does anybody remember what the disciples were doing when he was walking on the water? They weren't. They were battered by waves and wind, and when they saw this person coming walking on the water, they started crying out, "Ghost!" They were afraid, and so the words that Christ offered, "Do not be afraid." At that time, I talked about how we are not alone in our fear, that God either sends people to walk with us or breaks into our lives to hold us through the nighttime of our fear. Today, we hear those same words, "Do not be afraid," but in a different context. A famine has fallen across the land. Rain does not fall, and because it does not fall, food does not grow. And because food does not grow, people are running out. People are dying. People are falling to despair and to fear. In the midst of all of this, the prophet Elijah interrupts a widow's life, interrupts her on her journey with her son to death. You say what she had in the way of food was not even enough for her son to eat, not even enough for them to eat together. And here is this stranger coming out of the desert asking her for some bread. Her response is what we expect from someone who's reached the bottom. And what more could we expect? I mean, he finds her gathering sticks to give substance to what little food she does have. That isn't just the bottom of the barrel. That's scraping the bottom to feast on splinters. Some of us have been there. Some of us have never been there. But I imagine that many of us have come to a time in our lives where we had a choice between giving in to fear and despair or making room for hope. Impossible hope, but hope. In our reading today, and actually in a lot of readings where these words, "Do not be afraid," are spoken, Elijah is challenging the woman to embrace that impossible hope, to share what she had, what little she had, in the faith that, in spite of what little there was, there will be enough. Of course, as the story says, her faith is rewarded, and hope was found in the form of the meal jar that would not empty and the oil jar that would not fail. She let hope find root in a place where fear could easily flourish and choke out life. And that is really the choice that any of us is being asked to make when we've reached those moments of despair, to let the darkness of fear overtake us or to open our eyes and our hearts to the light of hope, a light that flickers and sputters, a light that might have no reason or right to shine in the midst of what it faces, and yet it does. And that is hope anyway, right? When we are in the darkness of despair, it is hard to see the light. when the darkness is just so easy to give in to. This is true whether it is a despair of our individual lives, the loss of a loved one, the loss of security in work or in life, the loss of access to food, the loss of health. It is just as true when we expand that to our communities, when churches are facing hard times, forced to make hard choices, responding in fear rather than in hope. It's the same when whole communities, when cities face tragedy and are faced with the easy choice of closing ourselves off to one another and the hard choice, which is embracing each other in the midst of our pain and our fear and becoming stronger. When I was sitting down trying to sort out what reading I was going to focus on this week, I was immediately drawn to the choice that God, through Elijah, presents to the widow in the midst of the famine. Because we are faced with the same choice in the wake of our own tragedy with the shooting. In both situations, there is a choice between living and dying. In closing ourselves off to one another, in the midst of our pain and our loss and our despair, we choose death, just as the widow was ready to do for herself and her son. In choosing to embrace one another, to find strength in one another and our faith, we are choosing not just to live, but to live in hope. Hope that we might not face something like this again, or if we do, that we will have the strength to carry one another through it. This is actually a hard choice between fear and hope. Fear is easy because it is an evolution of our survival, to leave the situation, to close ourselves off, to protect ourselves from further pain. In many ways, it is the path of least resistance, least hurt, least suffering, but it always ends out worse. Hope forces us to look outside of ourselves, to people and to choices that risk our bubble of protection, but ultimately make us stronger. Last night I was talking to a young gentleman by the name of Darren Peter Paul about fear and hope, about positivity and negativity, and he shared with me a story that I'd heard before but hadn't thought of in a long time, but one that had a lot to do with fear and hope. So I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to imagine that you have a sheet of white paper. At the center of that paper is a black dot. When you hold this paper up and you look at it, what do you see? Well, the obvious answer is the black dot. And they would be right. It's the most obvious choice. It stands out waiting for us, calling for us to see it. But keep looking at that sheet of paper with that black dot. What about the rest of the page? What about all of the possibilities that exist in the white space around the dot in the center? You can open your eyes. The dot and the paper is like the choice between fear and hope. Like that small dot, fear might be the obvious choice, the easiest road to take. And when we focus on it, it can take up the whole page, take up our whole lives. But around it are the possibilities of the rest of the page. Around fear is hope. Our instinct tells us to choose the path of ease, while God calls us to risk for one another. Over the last week, I've seen some amazing examples of people choosing hope when fear would have been easier. Over at the corner of Smythe and Dundonald is greenery that has been planted in such a way to read Fredericton Strong. I've seen ribbons worn by those who stand against fear in memories of the officers and civilians lost. I've heard and seen stories of members of other city police and RCMP coming out yesterday, not just from around the province, but from across North America, to mourn, yes, but to face the dawn of hope that will come. and it will come. Just as the widow finds her way through the famine because of her choosing faith and hope, so we will find a way to the dawn of hope by allowing God to work the impossible in and through us. By coming together in strength, supporting one another, and healing together. Do not be afraid, God says. Do not be afraid, the prophets say. Do not be afraid, Jesus says. God keeps speaking these words. God is persistent to drive out our fear, and so let us hear these words. Let us embody the love that they call us to. Because fear is a trap. Hope, impossible hope, sets us free. Amen.